Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. I'm your guest host, Kyle Scheidler, filling in for the great Frank Gaffney, who is off today. Joining me now, he's the author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians, Raymond Ibrahim. And Raymond, we're proud to announce that you also have a new book coming out, Sword and Scimitar, 14 Centuries of War Between Islam and the West. I have to say I'm excited to get my hands on it.
Yeah, hi, Kyle. Good to be with you. Thanks. Yeah, basically, that's what the book's going to be about, that subtitle, which is looking into and examining those mostly unknown 14 centuries of conflict between Islam and the West. And they're mostly unknown because in those early centuries, Islam was the aggressor. As you know, history tends to start nowadays with the colonial era, where the West is in the ascendancy and Islam has a disadvantage. And so I'm trying to bring more context by showing over 1,000 years where that wasn't the case.
And of course, even in the modern era, it's increasingly difficult to draw attention to conflicts that are being initiated by people who say themselves that they're acting on behalf of their Islamic faith. I wanted to talk to you, Raymond, about an article you wrote recently regarding comments by the Iraqi archbishop who describe what his people are facing as a slow-motion genocide. Tell us about what the archbishop said and its significance here.
Sure. Well, during this speech, I think it was last month, it was in February, and he said, I have the quote in front of me, and it is, the quote, having faced for 1,400 years the slow-motion genocide that began long before the ongoing ISIS genocide of today, the time for excusing this inhuman behavior and its causes is long since past. So he's of course from Iraq, and as most people know or should know, the Christian population of that country, the indigenous one, has essentially been decimated. You hear different numbers, something like Iraqis went from almost 2 million people in that nation, Iraq, to Iraqi Christians from 2 million to being something like hundreds of thousands, half a million, even less, and so forth. But what really caught my ear was the term slow motion genocide. And because that's something I've thought about often and I've written about often. And I think a lot of us were, when you hear the word genocide or you hear basically the purging of a people, you think of it in a very violent sense, Holocaust, killing people in mass, that sort of thing. And certainly that's happened throughout the centuries of jihad, non-Muslim territories. And that's well documented in history. But what was interesting to me is when you really think about it, you look at the majority of what we today call the Islamic world, it rests atop originally non-Muslim land. So for instance, in the 7th century, if you talked about what Christendom was, or Christianity, which had been around now for, 7 centuries, six centuries. And you looked at the landmass, okay, most of it was actually in North Africa and in the Middle East, nations like Syria and so forth, or Turkey, to give them their modern-day names. It wasn't even in Europe, really. And the heart of it was in nations such as Egypt and Syria, Anatolia, basically, or Turkey, Greece, and all of North Africa. I mean, people forget that the defender of the Nicene Creed, the articulators of early Christian doctrine were from places like Alexandria. The Bible, that's as we know it today, was canonized in Carthage, which is basically modern-day Algeria, and so forth. So the question is, what made those nations, which at the time were so heavily Christian, become today, all of North Africa now, west of Egypt, is something like 99% Muslim. Egypt, which was very Christian, is now something like 90% Muslim, 10% Christian. Same thing with Syria, Anatolia, where all the churches in the book of, a lot of them are in the book of Revelation. They're the ones that the apostles wrote epistles to, which is Asia Minor. Now that's, Turkey. It's basically also 7% Muslim. So what happens? The question, did Muslims come in and commit a genocide of all those people? Well, the answer is no. And that's really what, to my mind, the slow motion genocide is. What happened is, because of what is known as the Dhimmi status, you know, the third class citizenship, if you will, that is imposed on non-Muslims who choose to live as non-Muslims, Jews and Christians and so forth under Islamic hegemony, is so harsh. You have to pay extra money. You have basically no rights vis-a-vis Muslims. Your word in court doesn't count for anything against the Muslim. You could be attacked, you know, uprisings. You have to, you can't build churches, can't build synagogues. A lot of humiliation is involved when you pay the jizya tax, the tribute. Sometimes there's a whole ritual to degrade you, slap you, choke you. You're forced to walk as far on the ground as like an animal. So the point is, over the centuries, all these former non-Muslims, we were talking about the Christian world in North Africa, for instance, this happened also with obviously Jews and Buddhists and Hindus and all sorts of other people. So for instance, in India, you know, Pakistan today is all Muslim. It's the land of the pure. Well, those were all originally Hindus. So what happened is a sort of identity genocide. And so people, because they didn't, not many people can persevere under these conditions. So every century saw more and more and more non-Muslims convert willingly to Islam, because it was, if they didn't, so their life would be very, very wretched. And if you look at the definition of the word genocide, the legal definitions, this is even captured very well. So, for example, the first couple of definitions do talk about things like, and I'll even pull it up for you, things like violence and killing and so forth. The third definition says, and I quote, deliberately inflicting on a group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. So that is a genocide. That's precisely what Islam did throughout the centuries. In fact, the Dhimma, or the Dhimmi contract I was talking about, is based on what's called the conditions of Omar in Arabic. And so you can even see the very name, conditions. And here you have a definition saying conditions of life calculated to bring about destruction. So the conditions of Omar are the ones that very much made the life of a Christian or a Jew under Islam very wretched, third-class citizen, and it's exactly what caused countries like Egypt to go from, you know, being 95% Christian in the 7th century to today being 10% Christian, or places like North Africa and Anatolia.
Of course. I think, Raymond, this is so important, because if you don't understand your history, you don't know where you're going, especially when you're facing threats like the jihadists, who take their history very, very seriously, who understand all the things that you are describing and seek to emulate it for, you know, both Middle Eastern Christians today, as well as, you know, really all of Western civilization. I think that's important to understand, that this is a historical event that is exceedingly relevant to today.
Right. And so that's the situation. That's how the Islamic world was literally born. And, you know, of course, we're talking about history and knowledge of history. That fact is so little known today. You know, most people think Islam just has always been there. You talk about North Africa, the Middle East, and you know, for example, you hear about Christian persecution in that area. The question I get is, well, why are Christians there? And it's funny because, of course, as I mentioned, those were actually Christian territories, and those are remnants of the original people, and they're still being persecuted.
Of course, and I should point out for all our listeners who know Frank very well, they know he's a supporter of SaveThePersecutedChristians.org, an effort to really draw attention and have churches and synagogues and other places of worship here in the United States draw attention to the threat that these indigenous communities, I think the word indigenous is important, you used it earlier, Raymond, communities face. So I thank you so much, Raymond Ibrahim. That's all the time we have today here on Secure Freedom Radio. Please join us again tomorrow, same time, same channel. For Frank Gaffney, I'm Kyle Scheidler. Thank you very much.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.